on our website at WGTD.org.
This is WGTD HD, serving Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that explores and highlights various local issues and organizations. It's hosted by Jane Herring, a former marketing manager at Gateway Technical College, Jenny Tunkies, former reporter for the Kenosha News, and a former chief of staff for the Kenosha County Executive, Marcia Connett, who is a Southeast Regional Consultant for Wisconsin Literacy, and she provides literacy education support and management expertise, and Xander Miller, a librarian at the Kenosha Public Library who also works on technology and digital skills. Community Matters also shares its time slot with the 30-time award-winning WGTD Radio Theater. And now, here's today's program.
I'm Jenny Tunkies, and welcome to Community Matters. I am very pleased today to have Jenny Hesse, who is the general manager of the Kenosha County Fair, talking to us today about the upcoming Kenosha County Fair, August 16 through 20th in beautiful Wilmot, Wisconsin in Kenosha County. Jenny, welcome to the program.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here.
So there's a lot that's new this year at the Kenosha County Fair, but one thing in particular that's new is you.
Yeah, that is so true, yes.
So Jenny, tell us about yourself and what led you to the job as general manager at the Kenosha County Fair.
Yeah, so growing up, my parents were big into taking us to county fairs, and so I went to a variety of county fairs, and obviously being home to the Kenosha County Fair, we were here every year. So starting out at a young age, we always entered in the open class with a variety of things. And then growing up, once I got out of grade school, I then started working in the fair office as one of the fair assistants, doing the office work up front for 10 years, and then ended up going off to my internship that was in Indiana. So I couldn't be here because I was in a whole other state. And during that time frame, I started to more join in and being on the board of directors and sitting on the 21 directors. And then in the last couple years, went up to being on the executive board of directors. So through the years, aside from those pieces, I was the fairest of the fair back in 2012 and got to serve as the fairest for a whole year, which was an amazing experience. And then once got a little bit further on, I ended up taking over the Fairs of the Fair program and being the overseer of the Fairs of the Fair program, and then running. We have a event called Ag Olympics that takes place on Wednesday night of our fair, and I'm the one that runs the Ag Olympics event as well at the fair here. So kind of a little bit of everything that I've dipped my hands into here at the fair, and then when the opportunity came up to be the manager, it just felt right to kind of keep taking on my fair love and taking over the role of the next step of pretty much kind of being a part of the fair in a whole different fashion.
Wonderful. So it's my understanding Denise Zirbel's still working with you through a transition at this point.
Correct. So her and I are here together through the course of the summer. I started back in May in the official role, leaving the executive board and going into this role. And then we'll be together through the course of the fair. And then in the fall, around September-ish timeframe, she will be stepping down and more just kind of being a helper role. She said she doesn't want to leave the fair. She just won't be in the role as the manager anymore.
Well, that's very nice of her to help with that. And certainly, I know everyone in Kenosha County has appreciated all her efforts over the years as well. So, you are a former Fairest of the Fair. I think that's one of the first things that comes up during Fair Week. Isn't that right? The Fairest Contest. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so the Fairest of the Fair Contest, applications are being accepted right now all the way till the 1st of August. And then after the 1st of August, they will go into what's called their preliminaries during the Monday of Fair. And then on the Monday of Fair, we do preliminaries, and then the actual crowning and finals is on the Saturday of Fair at our Creekside stage at 10:30.
Great. So since you have experience in that role and you've really helped lead that event over the past number of years, what qualities should the Fairest of the Fair have?
That's a great question. So the Fairest of the Fair is somebody who is kind of like the icon of the fair, I guess you could say, that they are part of our marketing, are part of our media, are representing the fair throughout the course of the whole year. So some good qualities is just being somebody that has good energy, somebody who has good public speaking skills, somebody who has a love and desire to be a part of the fair, and then just someone that is just very knowledgeable on all the aspects of the fair too, because that helps a lot when you're getting a variety of questions all the time.
Right. Where's this? Where's that? Come on out, see this, see that. That's great. Mm-hmm. You mentioned Ag Olympics. Tell me about Ag Olympics.
So Ag Olympics is something we learned about at convention. I want to say this is our third or fourth year now that we've ran it. So we learned about it a couple years back at convention for all of the Wisconsin Association of Fairs, of all the county fairs that come together in January. And Ag Olympics is a event where kids, teens, adults, anybody of any age, we have different categories that they can compete in. And it's a variety of agriculture enthused activities. So they may have to, one was called Barn Hare Don't Care, and they had to throw cheese balls at someone else's head that had shaving cream on and try to get it to stick. We've had where they had to milk a cow the fastest that they could and be the first one to empty their milking bucket. We've had tractor pulls where they had to try and get across the finish line the fastest by driving their tractor. So it's all in relation to educating people about agriculture, but then it is also just about having some fun on Wednesday night of fair and getting out of your comfort zone of doing some silly fun things with your friends and family.
Great. And so that this is open to any one in those categories, and you Correct. Don't need to sign up in advance.
Nope. You sign up day of, we open registration about an hour before the event, which starts at 6:30. And so they can come out at 5:30, sign up. And then all the event starts at 6:30 and goes throughout the night. And there's a variety of prizes that are given to each winner from each category.
Fun. That sounds like great fun. And yeah. I'm sure it is something that you hope will draw in folks who don't necessarily live in the county or in, you know, west of the eye or in the more rural parts of the county. You're hoping to attract city residents and really kind of build on that urban farming, urban ag desire that seems to be growing.
Yes, definitely all the above. We try to do a lot of education about, so there's an egg toss, and it's different every year what we do for the activities, but we do like an egg toss and talk about the eggs, and then we have stuff that's like vegetables. So we did like a Hungry Hungry Hippos that it was a bunch of potatoes and just talking about that aspect. So it is meant to be a little bit about education, but also a little bit about experiential and exploring. So we want everybody and anybody. You don't even have to be from Kenosha. We have people that come up from over the border as well, as far north as Milwaukee, all the way out west. So anybody and everybody is welcome to attend.
Great. And, you know, just to distinguish for people, there are certainly a number of contests of things that individuals do and produce, 4-H, junior class, open class. The deadlines at this point have all passed to enter those things, isn't that right, by the time this airs?
Yeah, so the junior fair is usually due in the middle of June, give or take. That's when all the leaders turn in their stuff, and then we actually just sent all that out this week, so all the clubs are getting their stuff this week. And then for open class, it's always due the last Friday of July. So last Friday in July is the deadline for that. And then people can still enter all the way up to fair, but there is a service fee for it being past the deadline. Mm-hmm.
But it would be, if people have an interest, they should definitely go and look at all the things that people have submitted to get an idea of what the judges are looking for.
Definitely. And if you are somebody that's interested in learning about the different items, if it's from flowers to vegetables to cakes to canning to photography, and you are interested in coming to see the actual judging, our judging is live, so you can watch the judging take place during the fair week. Typically it's Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, and you can watch the judging take place and ask questions about maybe why they chose what they chose or what they're looking for in a particular category. So it's a good experience as well to see that. And it's also a good time to just kind of learn what they're looking for. So when you enter next year, or if you're a new entry, you just can kind of see what they're hoping to get out of it.
And we had talked a little bit about Ag Olympics, but there are other contests and competitions that you host at the Kenosha County Fair that people can get involved in that doesn't require any advance notice, really. We'll talk about some of those.
Yes. So variety of contests, I guess you could say, that happen during fair. One is new this year, but we try to do like a new fun contest, not every year, but almost every year. This one is due on the Sunday before fair, and it's a scarecrow contest. So that's something that's new this year, that people can decorate a scarecrow that's to their company, to their personal desires. And then we have a little scavenger hunt that people can go find them throughout the fairgrounds during fair week. So that's before fair that they're required to come in, but during fair, people can check them out. But during the fair, if you're somebody who likes to have that competition piece of you, there's the pedal tractor pulls that take place on Thursday and Friday for kids. I believe their age range is anywhere from 5 to about 16, give or take. And they come and they can compete in trying to be the top of their class or age in doing the pedal tractor pull. And we have a children's parade that is huge out here on Fridays. Is our children's day, and the children's parade is the kids get to decorate and dress up in whatever costume they want to do. We have costumes that are characters, to costumes that are farm animals, to vegetables, to the theme of the fair, to superheroes, you name it. I think there's over like 50 categories that kids can enter in. And it actually takes place right outside of our fair office here. So we can look out the window and you just see a slew of kids all dressed up in costume. And then they do a little parade throughout the grounds. And then they actually get judged based off of their outfits and get a prize depending on if they're in the top three.
That sounds like fun. So, you know, you mentioned the theme.
Yeah.
What is this year's fair theme?
It is Barnyard Mardi Gras.
And tell us what how you expect that we will see that vision throughout the fair.
Yes. So Barnyard Mardi Gras, we're trying to take that theme of kind of taking Mardi Gras to a whole different level. So it's taking Mardi Gras and incorporating animals to it. So you'll see a variety of beads, to the fun colors, to the masks, to animals dressed up, to you kind of name it, all throughout the grounds. That'll be throwing that theme out there and really hitting Mardi Gras off this year.
That sounds fun.
Yeah.
So I don't think people really understand all that goes into planning and pulling off a fair. You must have just a tremendous group of volunteers and dedicated people to help make this happen.
It wouldn't be possible without the volunteers that we have here. Some other contests that I didn't get to mention yet, but like we have a hay bale throwing contest too. And that one too, it's all organized by our 4-H groups, and they put on a hay bale throwing contest that you can throw a hay bale depending on your age, the size of the hay bale, and you want to be the one that throws it the furthest. That draws a huge crowd on Friday night as well in our show and sale arena. So that's a big event. For adults, we have the homebrew competition. So that's the beer, wine, and then we also have a cheese competition, and that takes place in our barrel room. So the events I said before of contests to these ones, every single one of them is ran by some sort of volunteer. And then we have our parking, we have our gates, we have security. Those per se are a variety of individuals. You know, some, not all are volunteer, but some, most, 3/4 of our fair is all pretty much a volunteer base now. And it wouldn't be possible without all of them. There are hundreds of them that come out during the week of the fair to make it possible.
Great. So we talked a little bit about you being new. Tell us some of the other things that are new this year to the Kenosha County Fair.
Yeah, so something that is new that we're excited to bring to the fair that we learned about at Convention 2 is one of our daily entertainments. We're going to have what's called the Ninja Experience. So if you've ever watched the Ninja Warrior on TV, it's going to be live here at our fairgrounds of competitions for different ability levels. And they're going to be doing like a Ninja Experience for, I believe it's both interactive and for stunts that you can watch. So that'll be really cool to see. Some of our other new is, I wouldn't say it's new, but it is new to us, is we had a rodeo for the first time last year in many, many years, but we chose to actually upgrade our rodeo this year, and we have the Big Hat Rodeo coming on, on Friday night, and that will be a big event for everyone to come watch on our grandstand levels. Other than that, we try to pride ourselves in not only adding new, but traditional. So we do have some of our traditional shows coming back and our traditional events at the track as well. But I would say that those are our two biggest new events, aside from the Scarecrow Contest being new this year.
Okay, well, let's talk about those traditions, some of the things people have come to love and expect.
Yeah, so a lot of our, you know, our biggest, I wouldn't say biggest, a lot of our traditions revolve around having family fun, family food, and the different vendors that we get out here. So a lot of our vendors come back every single year, and there's only a handful that tend to be new each year. Otherwise, it's a lot of those, the tradition coming back. Nick's Kid Show is a big tradition for us, so we'll have Nick's Kid Show back out here this year. The Racing Pigs is traditional too, so that'll be something that's back. And every couple years, we try to like rotate through and get some other individuals, but 90% of the time, those are the ones that are always here. We have a dirt track here at our fairgrounds, so we have racing that takes place two nights of our fair on Wednesday and Saturday, and that's a big tradition for us out here as well. And then the biggest one, and the one that everybody asks about, when is it happening, are you doing it this year, is the Combine Demolition Derby. There's a Combine Demolition Derby that takes place on Thursday night after the truck and tractor pulls. And people will, you just watch the grandstands just keep filling up as the night goes on with the truck and tractor pulls. And then everyone's there to watch Combine smash into each other until only one is standing. So yeah, that's another big, big tradition besides the typical demo derby that we have on Sunday.
Right, where cars smash into each other.
Yeah, everyone loves that.
Everyone does. That's a lot of fun.
Yes.
You mentioned food. Let's talk about food at the Kenosha County Fair.
Yes. So we have all of our typical exhibit barns that have like our massive potatoes from our Red Barn, and we have our pizza from our 4-H Pop and Pizza stand, and our corn from our Knights of Columbus and our Kiwanis booth. And so we have all of our typical booths that are permanent buildings out here. We have our general of the Euro stand coming back. We have some barbecue joints coming out this year. We have something new that's happening at our racetrack piece. We're going to have a wraps and salads and protein bowls because, you know, not always does people want fair food, and sometimes people want a healthy option. So we're going to have that at our racetrack this year, is having some healthy options for individuals to have if they don't want the typical fair food. But we'll have Wisconsin cheese curds back out here, Uncle Ed's, who has the barbecue rib sandwiches, and kind of those homegrown traditions of what people always come to fair to have, that baked potato or that pulled pork sandwich. All that will be out here as well. And then obviously the typical corn dog.
I do love a good fair corn dog, I have to admit.
Same here. Yes, we were just talking about that Racine County Fair is right around the corner, and I can't wait for a corn dog.
Right, right. So I have some visitors coming in from out of the country, and I'm going to bring them to the fair. What would you suggest are things that they should not miss?
Ooh, that is a tough question. Things they should not miss. We pride ourselves in our 4-H animals. So going around and seeing all of the pristine animals that are in all of our various barns are a must to go see. Our open class building is a very large building that has a variety of exhibits that the contestants put a lot of pride and joy into making every single one of their items. If it's from homegrown vegetables to quilts, it is amazing to look up and see all of the variety of quilts that the ladies and gentlemen put into hours upon hours of work. And then our 4-H buildings is another big must of going through the 4-H buildings and seeing all the younger kids putting in time and effort to then eventually go to the open class buildings and do that as well. But other than that, there's a little bit of everything for them to see. Our barrel room is a great experience for individuals too. Even if you're not somebody who enjoys drinking, there is music that's constantly playing in the barrel room as well for individuals to enjoy if that's something that you enjoy as well. And then our Creekside stage has a variety of bands as well that people can go enjoy throughout the day.
Great. I do assume there's a carnival.
There sure is. Yes, we have a midway that is operated throughout the course of the fair week. There's different specials depending on the day, so you can go to the website to kind of check that out. But they have rides that typically start about noon and go all the way till about 10 p.m. that individuals of all ages can enjoy.
Great. I'm really pleased today to be talking to Jenny Hesse, who's manager of the Kenosha County Fair. And we've been talking about the Barnyard Mardi Gras, which is this year, August 16th through the 20th, out in beautiful Wilmot. And Jenny, what are you most looking forward to at this year's county fair? What's one thing that you are not going to personally miss?
The biggest thing that I love and enjoy about coming to our county fair every single year is the people. Seeing your friends, being with your family, being able to explore the grounds, even though you come every single year and are here every single day, not one day is the same and every year is different. And then it's just like being in this role and being in the executive board in the last couple years is just seeing all the smiles and the memories being made by the families on the grounds that I don't even know who they are, but you can just see the joy on their faces. And to me, that's what I love about the community of a fair.
And how can people get more information about the Kenosha County Fair?
So there's two different options. You can always call our office here, or you can go onto the website, which has our office number as well, which is just KenoshaCOFair.com. On there, you can find all about our 2023 fair. You can find out about the 4-H and youth. Honestly, anything you want to know about the Kenosha County Fair, you can go to that website, and it has all of our contact information on there as well. So that's KenoshaCOFair.com.
Great. And you do have a phone number in case people have some desperate questions.
Definitely. Yes. So nice and simple. 862-6121 is our number here at the grounds with the area code of 262.
Well, I know one of the most important things is that you have nice weather. So have you done anything about ensuring great weather for that fair week?
Yes, we cross our fingers. We all are hoping and praying for great weather. We don't mind a little rain. We always say that we want it to rain for the farmers to get their produce and have all that kind of stuff. And then for 5 days from August 16th to the 20th, we want it to be bright and sunny. But we work through anything. The rain actually brings a lot of memories here too. You know, nobody prays for rain, but if it comes, we make it work. But yes, we definitely pray for good sunshine and beautiful days for the fair.
Wonderful. Well, Jenny Hesse, thank you so much. And I really appreciate you coming on to talk about the 2023 Kenosha County Fair Barnyard Mardi Gras.
Yes, thank you. I really appreciated chatting with you today, and I hope to see everybody out at the fair this year.
My next guest is Larry Gaffey, who is the general manager of the Walworth County Fair. Welcome so much, Larry.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Thanks for thinking of the Walworth County Fair.
Well, we're very excited about this upcoming fair season, and I know you are as well. Now, it's my understanding that the Walworth County Fair is the largest county fair in the state. Is that correct?
It is. Yep. Yeah, we get the numbers from all the county fairs in Wisconsin through the Wisconsin Fair Association. And that's been going on for a long, long time.
What do you think is the reason for that? Is it, how are you different?
I think there's several reasons. One, I would say, is the amount of youth participation in the fair as far as exhibits, meaning, you know, animals, home economics, horticulture, you know, all of that. There are a lot of kids that participate, and I think it says a lot about the project leadership that we have with the superintendents and also our, you know, FFA teachers in all the area schools. I did believe that to be one of the reasons. The other is the open class exhibits for, you know, anyone really, adults or kids. It's tremendous amount of entries into the fair. I think this year we'll process over 15,000 entries into the fair. Ranging from quilts to cows. So I think that's one big reason. I think another one is, our fairgrounds is pretty good size. We're about 100 acres, and our facilities are able to handle decent-sized crowds. And our grandstands are pretty large. They're covered grandstands, so even with a little bit of, you know, there's good shade, or if a little bit of rain happens, the show goes on. Mm-hmm. And I think that helps. The another reason, I believe, is our location. You know, we're right at the intersection of Interstate 43 and Highway 12. and we're just north of Lake Geneva. We, you know, Lake Geneva is kind of a playground for a lot of people that live in the suburbs of Chicago. And a lot of people have summer homes there, but it's also a tourist spot even for day trips. And I know that we get a lot of traffic because of tourism in our area. We have lakes north of us, west of us, east of us, south of us. So we have a tremendous amount of tourism traffic during the season. You know, I think last year, I remember what Walworth County had for tourism economic impact, but it ranks sixth in the state of Wisconsin, you know, behind like Brown County where Green Bay is and some of these others, but we're in the top 10 by far in tourism dollars generated in Wisconsin. But we get probably 25 to 30% of our attendees during the fair come from Illinois. So that tourism definitely has a big impact. I'd say those are the top two.
That's wonderful. So Larry, tell me a little bit about how you got involved with the Walworth County Fair.
It's an interesting story. I hope your listeners aren't bored by this, but I was in the advertising business for 25, 30 years and in the automotive industry. And the automotive industry went through a crash in 2008. And I was living in Iowa at the time. And so the ad business wasn't so fun anymore because dealerships were losing franchises and all that. But the town I was living in, there was an old historic fairgrounds there that used to be the home of the dairy show that Madison has today, the World Dairy Expo, whatever. And so it's just an older facility like Madison, same arena and all of that, but a fairgrounds. And a couple of community leaders got a hold of me and said, hey, while you're trying to figure out what you're going to do, Larry, why don't you come and manage the National Cattle Congress? And I said, why not? I mean, and the pay was terrible, but the first day on the job, I fell in love with it. We ran our fair there, the National Cattle Congress Fair and the County Fair, and did that for a while. And then I got recruited to run a facility up in Wyoming, a big facility. And we wanted to get a little closer to home. And so my wife and I started searching for stuff near Eastern Iowa, and this popped up. And so we made a phone call, and that was 8 years ago.
Oh,
it's been one of the best life moves we've made. We love it here.
Oh, that's wonderful. So were you in 4-H, or did you do any of that agricultural sort of
as a child? No, I didn't. And in fact, when I was growing up, 4-H was never, you know, presented to me as something I could do. I mean, we lived in town. I remember seeing FFA kids in high school and thinking that it was just for farmers. Mm-hmm. And boy, was I wrong. I learned a lot. But I mean, I worked on farms and I had relatives that farmed and spent a lot of time in the ag sort of industry growing up. I did all the things a lot of kids do. You know, you bale hay and you detassel corn and walk beans and, you know, all worked in a hog confinement. And I wish I would have been, because now I look at these kids in FFA and I think they're some of the most potentially productive youth that our schools are producing. And some of the projects that they work on, the volunteering that they do, honestly, our fair couldn't run without these FFA kids and teachers.
Absolutely. And yet also still attracting, I'm sure you still get in open classes for sure. You know, for lack of a better term, the more urban kids, city kids participating.
We're really trying. And, you know, as everyone knows, access or direct access for a kid to a farm is becoming, you know, fewer and fewer. And I mean, we do have a lot of kids that say, let's say, raise an animal to show, but they'll raise it at somebody else's farm, or they'll have maybe an acreage and they're raising a few animals. But a lot of kids just don't have access to that. And so we've been trying to introduce programs that will create or incentivize them to get involved in a project with a mentor so that they can learn how to do things. And we started, we have a lot of things that kids can do where you don't need to be on a farm. I mean, all the home economic projects, arts and crafts, you know, including photography, horticulture, all of those things. We have all of those, like probably every fair in the country has, but we've introduced a couple of new programs through sponsorships that have really gained a lot of traction and attention. We have a birdhouse build-off this year that Tannis Construction in Whitewater is sponsoring. And we put some rules in place for kids. You know, it can only be so big and they can only spend so much money on materials. And then it's judged by someone who's a carpenter and then someone who's an expert in birds. And I don't know what the word is for, I'm sorry, but they're experts in nature. And so they judge these birdhouses and we give away $5,000 in prize money.
That's fantastic.
It really is, you know. And then this year we started another one that's called the Pinewood Derby Showdown. You don't have to be in Scouts. And we'll give a kid a free Pinewood Derby kit if they enter. We've got a bunch of different councils involved in helping us run the Pinewood Derby so it's done properly. And there's $5,000 in prize money for that too. And there'll be a lot of trophies given out and all of that. And that's sponsored by Advanced Auto down in Delavan is sponsoring the prize money. So those things like that are getting attention and it's creating an opportunity for kids to get involved in a project that maybe they hadn't thought they could do. And it certainly incentivizes them to do that. So we're going to try and add more contests like that as we go through generous sponsors.
That's nice too, that you have such involvement from the community, from businesses as well, really helping attract people to the fair.
Yes. I mean, it makes me proud of our area and our business leaders. And, you know, there are a lot of businesses that truly care about the quality of life in their communities. And they know that they have an impact on that and can have an impact. And I think that, you know, that's what a community needs. Every community needs businesses that are generous.
So. Absolutely. Absolutely. What a nice thing to help build up the fair and build up confidence in youth and their skills, teaching them to be creative and innovative.
And productive.
Right. And
I think there's a little lack of that today. And I think it'd be better for all of us if we helped our kids be a little more productive. And so, you know, I'm going to be old someday. I'm going to need some of those kids to take care of me, you know?
Absolutely. So now we should tell folks the dates of the Walworth County Fair.
Starts Wednesday, August 30th, and it goes through Labor Day, September 4th.
Great. And, you know, we've talked about, you know, 4-H and Future Farmers and some of these contests. Are there things that people can still sign up to participate in since the fair's the end of August?
Yes, we have all kinds of contests during the fair that kids, you don't even have to enter. We've got a plein air at the fair thing where that one you do have to enter, you have to get your name, but people will be around the fairgrounds painting a scene at the fairgrounds and there's prizes for that. We have a pies in the park contest that you don't even have to enter, just bring a pie. We have a honey confections contest where you don't have to enter, you just show up. All this can be found on walworthcountyfair.com. We have all kinds of different contests in our Barnyard Adventure area, the milk chugging contest and cream puff eating contests. And we have a cute costume contest every day. That our theme of the fair this year is No Place Like Home. And so we'll have contests each day for kids to kind of dress up or adults in costume relating to that theme. That's kind of fun to see that walking around. This year we've got the Wizard of Oz characters are going to be at the fair this year. We've got the Tin Man and Dorothy and the Lion and the Scarecrow and even Toto will be walking around the fair this year.
That sounds wonderful. So some of these things you can sign up for on site. Some, I'm sure some of these more formal probably are closed already.
Some are, but like the birdhouse, you can still do that. The plein air, you can do that. The Pinewood Derby, you can still sign up for that. And as far as, let's see, open class exhibitors, when was that deadline? Friday, August 4th. So there's still time to sign up for open class entries. And again, those forms can be found on our website.
Great. And, you know, there's so many things people can get involved in. It's probably a good idea to go and show up, look at all the entries. If you do end up missing the deadline, or maybe you're unsure, go out to the fair, look at what people have brought in for judging. And you can say to yourself, oh, I can make a better pie than that.
Yeah, and, you know, and then also, you know, I would encourage people to speak with the building superintendents and their staff. They're there for that, to help you or discuss with you or help you understand what certain projects are and what it takes to do well. And I had the opportunity to go through our home economics department a couple years ago with a long-term exhibitor, Marianne Pierce, who owns a big farm stand over here. And she's been showing at the fair for like 60 years or something like that. And then the superintendent of home economics, and we walked around and looked at stuff. And I'll be honest, generally really did not have any interest in home economics projects. But now I look back on that moment, getting a tour of the superintendent and her is one of my most favorite fair memories, learning about quilts especially. I mean, it's unbelievable what, you know, the Walworth County Fair has one of the biggest quilt shows you'll find. And the intricacy of that work and the talent it takes, the skill and practice, I can't imagine it. It's so detailed. I'm just not that detail oriented. But all kinds of projects like that. Mm-hmm. How to can a jar of pickles, you know? There's, you know, all kinds of things I didn't know about. You know, there's got to be so much space between the liquid and the lid, and little things that judges look at, and food safety reasons too. But yeah, I would encourage people to talk to superintendents.
That's a wonderful idea. And certainly you can go and watch the judging and see what goes into what people are judged on, and comments that are made by judges. So that's always a good thing to do as well. So Larry, what's new this year at the Walworth County Fair? I know you've got lots of traditional things, but anything that's really stand out this year that's different?
We have a free act, free with admission to the fair. He's called the Birdman, and he has all these exotic birds on display, but he does demonstrations with them. I think he's even got a condor, and they're trained, and they'll fly over the heads of the audience and land in his, you know, arm. And he has all kinds of different breeds of large birds. And I can't wait to see that. And every year, like some of the contests are based on, you know, this year's theme or are unique to this year's fair. We've got some new rides coming into the carnival company. Our grandstand entertainment, we've added a full rodeo this year, which we have not done during the fair. We've had bull riding before, but this is a full rodeo with, you know, team roping and barrel racing and saddle bronc and bareback and all of that. So that's going to be fun. And our entertainment, our grandstand entertainment, the concerts change every year. So this year we've got, we like to bring in a good popular Christian act every year. We were not successful every year, but we were this year. We've got Casting Crowns coming in, and a lot of people are very excited about that. We've got a couple of country artists coming. Chris Young, who's, you know, a multi-platinum award-winning country guy, and then an up-and-coming country musician named Dylan Carmichael is going to be with him. performing before him. And then classic rock, we got Styx coming this year, and we're very excited about that. The tickets are just going selling like crazy. So any of those grandstand concerts, if you want to go to those, you probably better get your tickets because they're going to sell out. We've got Tractor Pulls, of course. And we've got probably the largest demolition derby in the state of Wisconsin on Labor Day.
So that sounds like fun. I want to remind everyone, we're talking to Larry Gaffey, who's the general manager of the Walworth County Fair, which is the largest fair in the state of county fair in the state of Wisconsin. So let's talk a little bit about fair food. Anything new this year at the Walworth County Fair for food? Of course, you've got your traditional corn dogs, one of my favorites, but
that's my favorite. I have a corn dog every day at the fair.
Don't tell your cardiologist.
Right. I sample food though too. Like I kind of go around to make sure it's, you know, of course I got to test it.
Right. And, it's quality control.
That's it. Yeah. I still have to pay for it, but I might only have a bite or two of something. So I have room all day to just kind of try different things. We do have a new food stand. It's a Polish style food that we're excited about. We've got, I haven't gone through the list, but I know that we've got three or four new different types of food. We've got, I think it's 80 food concessionaires. 80.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yes.
So your biggest problem as a patron of the fair is trying to figure out which one you're going to go to. I mean, you'll walk through them all and you're like, holy moly, which one do you want to go to? And I feel sorry for the people that stop at the very first one they see, because they're going to miss, you know, they'll probably walk by something they wish they would have rather had. So anyway, yeah, there's one of the most popular things for foods at our fair is steak sundae.
What?
Yeah, it's called a steak sundae. And they stick French fries in the bottom of a sundae glass. And then they put a little cheese sauce on that. Then they chop up some tender steak that they grill. And put a little sour cream on, and I'm telling you, it's sinful. It's so sinful. But the line to that food stand is always long, always long. And we've got a seafood stand called the Crab Shack, and he does traditional, authentic kind of Louisiana po' boy sandwiches and, you know, lobster rolls and things like that. The lines are always long at that. There's a lot of good food there.
Oh, you're making me hungry. I don't know. A steak sundae actually sounds pretty good, but followed up by a cream puff, I suppose, a traditional. So I'm sure you have a very big carnival area for kids as well. A lot of kids stuff to do.
We've got, you know, the main carnival area is, you know, we've got big giant rides but we also have Kiddie Land, where we've got some of the stuff for the smaller kids, and we've got pony rides and all of that. There's you won't be able to get through it all.
It sounds like a multiple day gathering if you're going to go to the Walworth County Fair, because there's so much to do.
I think the average person comes, I looked at stats on it, comes 1.7 times. So there are people that come every day, of course, but yeah, people are making multiple visits.
Yeah. Well, Larry, remind us again of the dates and how people can get more information about the Walworth County Fair.
August 30th, it's a Wednesday, through September 4th, which is Labor Day. And you can find everything at walworthcountyfair.com.
Wonderful. Well, Larry, thank you so much for your time today and talking about the Walworth County Fair. We really appreciate visiting with you.
Yep. I'm going to head to the Racine County Fair here today, later.
Great. We've talked to them previously, and it sounds like it's going to be a great fair there as well. So thank you so much, and we appreciate you being our guest today on Community Matters.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Community Matters. All programs are archived at WGTD.org. Click shows. This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva.
Well, this week we have a special Irish edition of WGTD's Noon Tunes, featuring three of the best Irish bands in the world, all coming to Racine. Details on all their shows coming up during the week. So join us for Noon Tunes, Monday through Friday, 12:20 p.m. here on WGTD HD.
I'm Gregory Berg, and on Monday's morning show, an inspiring story of courage and humor in the face of sorrow. My guest, Norm McKerney, Permont.